Hello, this is Jane Clark, the historian at Aintree Racecourse, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition with Alex Levchuk.
Thank you very much, Jane. OK, weather today, highs of 9 degrees centigrade, lows of 8 degrees centigrade, a clear cold start with fog patches thinning slowly, but outbreaks of rain in the afternoon. Splendid!
This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Ah, yes, every Thursday we usually start off with those dulcet tones, but now she's live in person! Sarah Huntley, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well indeed.
Excellent stuff. Okay, so frosty day in South London and the joys of Wimbledon at present?
Yeah, frosty day, but you know, if we like to pretend we could be on those alpine slopes, a little bit of hot sort of glinting sun coming through just on the trees losing their leaves. So as you ended with a little splendid at the end of frosty moments.
Yeah. Alpine slopes in Wimbledon, my word. That's,
well, it's, you know...
Does Boris Johnson know about this?
Well, he probably does. Actually, and I have to say, I'm looking out of my window and I can see three parakeets.
Oh, well,
there. That sounds very Wimbledon, doesn't it?
I mean, you know, not one, not two, but three parakeets.
Oh, no, darling, we have three here.
Yeah, of course, you know, it is the only way. Exciting news next week, of course. Not that you're necessarily an aficionado of the series Hollyoaks, but just a little plug for our mutual colleague and ace friend, a BAFTA award-winning director, Graham Harper. Tis his episodes of Hollyoaks that are on Monday, Tuesday, and probably Wednesday as well. Graham will be talking about it on the show next Wednesday for the Midweek Drive, but in his own words, the biggest action sequences he has ever directed will be on the screen.
Yeah. How exciting. Just repeat that information, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Channel 4. Look at the schedules for Channel 4, Hollyoaks. I think it's usually around about the 6:30 slot, etc. But obviously that's what TV schedules are for, to sort those things out, really. But that's the key thing. So there you are. Hollyoaks, next Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. Sequence directed by Graham Harper. Of course, the way that the magic of the media works, he's only going and directing Casualty at present, so he's in a different part of the country entirely. But there we are. That's life. You know, and of course there is a connection between yourself and Casualty because you were the quintessential Rosie the anaesthetist. I'll say that again for the benefit of John Wenham and John Wenham's diary. We are speaking to the quintessential Rosie the anaesthetist here, which is fantastic.
Rosie's moved on a bit now. I think she could come back as the aged anaesthetist, perhaps, or. I don't know, what do anaesthetists go on to do? Perhaps I could come back as a professor, maybe.
Call us now on the studio number, or get in touch with us, studio@sirenonline.co.uk, if you'd like to find out what Rosie the anaesthetist is all about. Maybe I just like to say the word anaesthetist. But still, you know, there's more to life than that, surely. Exactly. So, Sarah, you've been a bit poorly recently, but that's all sorted out now. In fact, you went down with pneumonia, which is a bit silly, but never mind. You know, you obviously went through that experience.
Well, you have to do it once, don't you?
I think it's always important that is actually maintained from that point of view. And again, if people are wondering, where are the usual sort of midweek drivettes, etc.? Well, Emma Tinson, she's also poorly. Get well soon, Emma. Probably not listening now. Probably tuned out in all sorts of ways. Technically, she should actually be attending university for an Origins of Modern Britain seminar and lecture, plus various other bits and pieces. So who knows what she's going to do with respect to that. And Jessica is indeed on her way, we believe. But the official message that came through just before the actual show was as follows. And obviously, being a tutor, you'll appreciate sort of the joys of this whole side of things, Sarah. Good morning, Alex. Just to let you know, I am on my way, but I shall be slightly late. Sorry for the inconvenience.
Yes, have many a note or email like that.
Yeah, I mean, we could obviously have actually just held the show back, but I figured... No. It's live broadcasting. It's Thursday morning, the 6th of November. It's 6 minutes past 8 o'clock, or 6 minutes past midnight if you're in America, or Los Angeles to be precise. Different parts of America, different time zones. So we thought we'd actually run with that. Besides, we did want to actually sort of say that last night Jessica was particularly impressed, as indeed was Sophie Grayson, who indeed would have been here, but she actually has an even more wonderful excuse. She's actually out saving lives. It's not an excuse. It's what she does. She's a lifeguard.
You make everything sound funny. The weather, saving lives, pneumonia, the lot. Yes.
It's all part of the rich tapestry we've got. And if you've got a lifeguard who's saving lives with people with pneumonia, it's a win-win situation. Bring on the parakeets.
Absolutely.
Bring on the parakeets.
Yes. Oh,
dear. So anyway, the point that Jessica made, and indeed Sophie, was that they were very impressed with Ryan Clayton. There, I'll give another line check. Ryan Clayton, who was the 14-year-old who made his show debut on the programme yesterday and talked about, obviously, how he came very close to actually getting into a show. But never mind, that was a different issue.
And I think we should all follow Ryan Clayton, because I have a feeling that young man will go places. He's got a certain charm and charisma. I met him in the summer and I thought, he'll be in this business. He will. He definitely will.
Are you indicating, Sarah, that he might well be the next Benedict Cumberbatch then?
I think he could, actually. I really do. I really do. He's got a certain style about him.
I suppose as Benedict's obviously tied to the knot, or is about to, with respect to Sophie, the theatre director. How often that occurs, or not, as the case may be. But who knows? There could be a view there. Ryan, of course, in case you're wondering, will actually be performing not one but two upcoming school productions. We found out he's going to actually be Poseidon in a... yeah, I know, that's like Neptune, but a different sort of version. You know, and I say, watch the trident, Ryan. Watch the trident. I'm sure things will be sore through. Because those three-pronged forks and tridents, if you don't use them very carefully, you could have carnage on stage. The whole career could actually sort of come to a sticky end. As well as that, he's one of the backing folk in the musical Anything Goes. So that's the Trojan... I'm not sure there's a Trojan woman here. I might have actually misread my own writing there. Anything Goes. In fact, you could actually have Anything Goes with Trojan women, but still.
Well, I think it probably does if you read Lysistrata. I mean, you know, anything goes.
Classical references at almost 9 minutes past 8 o'clock. What can we actually appreciate? It's just outstanding. Coming up in the programme today, we did mention a group who have been defined by Tom Robinson from BBC Radio 6 Music and, of course, 2468 Motorway as, sometimes I love bands because their music is so exquisitely crafted, and sometimes simply because it's irresistibly daft. In the case of Biscuithead and the Biscuit Badgers, it's both. I'll say that again in case you...
Oh, are we going Biscuithead and the Badgers? You know, I thought that might have been a charitable society that were feeding biscuits to badgers that people were trying to cull, but it's a band.
It is a band, and in the words of Bob Fisher from BBC Radio Tees, I know Bob, he's okay, he usually calls it fairly solidly, classic English surreality, a delightful mix of Vic Reeves' Big Night Out, Bonzo's and Music Hall. I want to marry them all. I would have said that's a little bit hasty, that. I tell you what, Sarah, if you've got a few moments, would you...
Are we going to have a little bit?
Oh, do you think so? Because actually Jessica is waving at the door, so I can actually now... Well, she's not waving at the door, she's waving at the window. She's waving at the door. It'd be silly, really, wouldn't it? You know, she could wave at the door for a long time. I need to go and actually open the door for Jessica.
Yes.
Because obviously she's just a level one student of her first year. She's from New Zealand. We can't entrust her with a key. You know, it'd be too much.
No.
So I'll let Jessica in, and we'll leave you and the listener to actually appreciate just a little sequence of Biscuithead and the Biscuit Badgers and their interpretation of Tweed Jacket.
Tweed Jacket, I only want to wear you Tweed Jacket. I hope I never tear you, you're wonderful and made out of wool, Tweed Jacket. If I were to wear you with a pink shirt, expert, we'd stand with Tim at the front on Bargain Hunt. Tweed Jacket, more useful than an onion. Tweed Jacket, I'll wear you out to luncheon. You wouldn't believe how I love it in your sleep. I feel the need. Bum, 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 bum. I feel
We could actually leave it until the heavy breathing starts, but somehow, Sarah, I think that might be just too much, you know. Good morning, Jessica. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well.
There we are. And just to confirm that you say, oh, please. and you wonder about the parakeets. Still, never mind.
I rather like them.
Yes.
I think that particular lyric, made out of wool, tweed jacket, you're wonderful, wool, I don't know, very good. Could he sing that this time in the morning on his own? I don't think so. I mean, is he going to go through his whole wardrobe?
Do you know, there is that thought, of course. You know, could
we get on to races and socks and knickers? I don't know.
It's a question we shall certainly put to the man from Biscuit Head, who are actually performing at the Fisherman's Arms in Southgate, Hartlepool.
Seriously, I think he's got something there. It's rather good. It's not of this era, though, is it? It's a bit retro.
Are you saying you can't see Taylor Swift maybe actually covering tweed jacket and releasing that sort of things? Yeah,
would be interesting.
Well, probably could. It'd be an interesting one. But no, I like it. It's very funky.
Well, I think that would be a way forward for that sort of point of view. Yeah, very much so. Anyway, time for this.
The Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM, a show that enhances, educates, and entertains.
Yeah, well, we like to think so. Annette Andre there, whom we will hopefully be meeting up with again in the not-too-distant future. Of course, again, we did realise, Jessica, that maybe Annette sort of thought, was it because she was from Australia originally, with you being New Zealand, that's why you didn't turn up for that? You were doing your netball. We didn't mention yesterday, of course, you had a success. Your netball was a win. And what happened with that netball result against the University of Derby?
It was 29-19. Yes.
And I'll have you know, Sarah, that Jessica is a fine netball defender.
Yes, I am.
I was going to ask, what position do you play?
Goal defence.
Goal defence. Right, yes, as opposed to goals.
What
defense.
Position did you play, Alex, when you were at school?
I was fullback, Sarah, usually.
Fullback,
moving forward, basically, every so often. But that was in the association football game. And obviously tennis, you don't really play a position. You kind of just strike the ball. That's the important thing. Anyway, as life continues. So, the point being that, Jessica, you were also very impressed with our young man who's going into the role of Poseidon. And indeed, anything goes. Yeah, I know, it's strange, isn't it? You know, just think he could have actually been in a reality TV show in a sweatshop in India somewhere. I think he made the right decision.
I think he just wants to keep saying Poseidon, because when you say that, we all have that description of that marvellous moment in Love Actually when they say, what are you playing in the nativity? And is it the octopus or the goldfish? I can't remember, but it's something, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, the octopus.
Does Poseidon have a fork, or does he have many prongs? I don't know.
I think he has a trident. I mean, we had this classical discussion last night, I think, and Jessica sort of immediately thought it was Neptune, but, you know, he's confused. That's okay.
Same here. This is my thought for the day now. What is the difference between... It's not a joke, by the way. What's the difference between Poseidon and Neptune, then? I'm being very silly.
They're pretty much the same thing. It's just one is Roman, one is Greek. Is that correct?
I think.
Thank you very much.
There we are, you see. That's the kind of informative stuff that actually makes the Midweek Drive morning edition on Thursdays just that little bit more surreal. So, Jessica. Well, actually, I mean, Sarah, would you like to quiz Jessica? Because, I mean, she's relatively new to the whole team, and obviously you and I go back to the last century, really, when Jessica was still actually in New Zealand. But, you know, her mum claims that she has a broad New Zealand accent. I haven't noticed that at all, really, Jessica. But then, you know...
I agree with that as well.
Yeah, so we are. Anyway, would you like to just have a few words with Jessica before, obviously, we go off to Richard Fitzwilliam? Sarah, the floor is yours.
Jessica, I don't think you've got a broad New Zealand accent at all. Yes. How long have you been in this country for?
It's 6 years now.
Six years?
Yes.
Although whether the Isle of Man is actually the UK, I don't know. I mean, it's like...
Don't get started on that.
I've never been lucky enough to go to New Zealand, but what do you miss it?
Indefinitely. Obviously the weather is probably the thing I'm missing.
Really,
the most.
When you wake up on a day like today, Jessica, where, you know, it's a nice frosty start. You know, temperatures of 9 degrees. You know, reaching a high, they're lowing to 8 degrees centigrade. You know, surely New Zealand just sort of echoes this in full, doesn't it?
No, not really. Well, some essences, I suppose, during winter.
Am I right in thinking, because I'd love to go, but whenever I sort of hear about New Zealand and talk to people who are New Zealanders, I get this feeling, I might have got very wrong, my sort of image of New Zealand is people who all go for lots of walks outside a lot. You're a very outside lot of people, much more than us people that sort of shut the front door and that's it at 8:30. And that I thought the weather was actually there's quite a lot of rain, or am I wrong about that?
No, there is actually a lot of rain, especially in a place called down south in...
It's always rained down south, really.
Yes.
I think that and sheep, of course.
Of course. Got 3 sheep per person or something ridiculous.
Hey, never alone when you got the New Zealand sheep with you.
But, I would say we were probably a little bit more outdoorsy. I think it is because the rain over there, it's quite warm.
It's not the same sort of rain as we get here.
Rain, you can have a shower in there.
And why is it work that's brought you to these shores, or why did you decide to come to Great Britain?
Well, my uncle got married to a little lady in the Isle of Man, and we thought, and my parents thought,
we're not letting our brother go along. we're going to move en masse.
Yes, pretty much. They were like, if we're spending so much money and so much time getting to the Isle of Man, we might as well stay there, make a little nest, and
colonise.
Yes, pretty
much. Colony of New Zealand.
Invade. We're going to invade.
The Isle of Man.
Take up your lands.
Brilliant.
Yes, and then travel around Europe bit by bit, and
off to Auschwitz later on in the year.
Yes, yeah. I am. And also, I think we wanted to give him some family support on this side of the hemisphere, and I think my parents wanted us to maybe look at the culture on this side as well.
And we do have some, of course. It's amazing what we do.
Yes.
It's quite astounding.
You guys have a lot of
So where do you see yourself ending up, Jessica? Here or in New Zealand?
Oh, I've been asked this a lot. And to tell you the truth, I have no idea. I'm very open-minded about that. I don't mind either way.
And though I did say after last weekend has superlative tour de force with the Pro Vice Chancellor of the University of Lincoln, Professor Scott Davidson, I wouldn't embarrass her anymore. But when you actually do meet Jessica, which you probably will, because obviously you touched base with Natalie Tuck, who's now living in London and doing all sorts of wonderful things there when we did the boat show. Possibly Jessica might join us for the boat show next year. Mm. But she did actually pick up a gold Duke of Edinburgh Awards winning thing from the Duke, Prince Philip himself. Exactly, at St. James Palace a couple of weeks ago. There we are.
Wow.
So only the very best for you, good soul, Sarah. And that's why we're asking Jessica to throw those last two questions at you. Off you go,
okay.
Jessica.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Oh, I have, and it's got me off to a good start. It's thrown away all that negativity about the difficult job that I've got to get through today. So thank you.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Karen. And I feel up and running, able to cope, and I'm going to look out. I feel better for knowing between Poseidon and Neptune now. I can enter Dulwich College with my head held high today.
Yeah.
Yes.
Watch out for the parakeet, Sarah.
Yes.
You forgot the last question.
Will we be hearing from you soon?
Yes.
Absolutely.
There you see. Okay. Just in case you thought, we've lost the last... No, never, never. I suppose if you're the sister of the chap who actually wrote Tubular Bells, you might just spin round and round and think it's all smoke and mirrors, basically. Or maybe she's just seen a Christopher Nolan movie. I don't know. What say you, Richard Fitzwilliams?
She might well have.
Yeah, well. Now, obviously, after the trilogy of The Dark Knight Returns and Rises, etc., and, of course, I know your personal favourite, Inception. Oh, what a wonderful thing was happening there.
Indeed it was.
You decided to take the bull by the proverbial metaphysical and metaphorical astronomical horns and go interstellar on us.
Yes, and I have to say it is a remarkable film. I mean, I have to accept that Christopher Nolan, its director, is not someone who tells stories in
easy, straightforward, linear manner.
Absolutely not. And whereas it is true that some of his earlier films, Prestige, Inception, The Dark Knight Rises, as opposed to Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, which I liked, very, very different responses. Nonetheless, this is extraordinary. And what's more, he does push the limits. What is humanity's place in the stars, it asks, no less, because here we have Earth collapsing, mankind surviving on corn, and the Dust Bowl threatening Earth, and Cooper, played by Matthew McConaughey, a former test pilot, is in charge of a mission to discover a place where those the decaying planet can actually move. I mean, it's very well done, this, I have to say. Not only extraordinarily spectacular and often awesome in the space scenes, it has advisor, leading theoretical physicist Kip Thorne. It's been praised, highly praised for its accuracy, much as Gravity was, even more so, I have to say. But we have Cooper as a family man with two children, and the way that they connect with him through videos when he has moved into space. And this is through a wormhole. The disturbance has appeared near Saturn, and a wormhole bores through a higher dimension of space and time. Well, time is very much the essence in a movie of this sort, because every year he spends, every moment he spends in space is... its equal on Earth means that when he returns, his children will be a very, very great deal older. And all this is the brainchild of Professor Bram, played as so frequently Michael Caine appears in Christopher Nolan films, whose daughter, Amelia, and played by Anne Hathaway, is one of the crew of the spaceship.
And that's the Einstein time dilation effect, which we see manifested regularly on the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
I knew you'd understand it.
There you are. No sign of Emma Tinson, because Emma's a bit poorly, actually, so there is sign, but she's good, so we can't sort of have that. But we do have Jessica Ward in the house, so to speak. Jessica, Interstellar, what are you going to be looking to seek it out in the next few days? It's long, but it's worthwhile.
I've seen it advertised quite well, actually. It does look very interesting. I haven't actually seen a lot of films with Matthew McConaughey in it, so I think it'll be quite different.
Won an Oscar, as you know, for Dallas Buyers Club.
Yes, yes. Haven't seen that film, actually. But, no, it does sound very good. I do like sci-fi kind of things, and space is always a good subject in film. So, yeah, no.
It's often said that filmmaking is a battle between art and commerce. In his career so far, British director Christopher Nolan has managed to strike a balance between the two better than just about any filmmaker currently working, according to filmgeek.com.
There is no doubt that, as far as the critics are concerned, I mean, Nolan has soared to amazing heights. And, I mean, I do have to say that this is a very, very rewarding film. I mean, it is very impressively done. Visually, it's quite awesome. Hoyt van der Hoytema is the cameraman, and must get credit, as must Hans Zimmer, for the musical score. And the performance is very good. Very impressive. Jessica Chastain, too, as Professor Brand's protege on Earth, and watching the story develop. It is a difficult film. I mean, I do have to say that it isn't linear, and you do have to make an effort in certain scenes, I found. But nonetheless, it is a somewhat awesome achievement. You mentioned the length, and it is nearly 3 hours, but this is a 3 hours that nobody is going to regret who is interested in the genre, because there are some absolutely stunning sequences in it. And when you discover what's on other planets, a wall of water, for example, or a wall of ice, it's a movie full of quite a few surprises, and the way it tells its story and the way it unravels, I have to admit, it had me absolutely glued to it, and not always comprehending, as I do have some difficulty with the way Nolan tells his stories, but it's very interesting to hear him talk about the film at the press conference at Claridge's, and that too, interesting. It helped.
It's always nice to have a press conference at Claridge's, I think. I once had tea with Joanna Lumley there, he says, name dropping, but there we are. Actually, it was Brown's Tea Room. I tell a lie, it was Brown's Tea Room. That's another issue entirely. Anyway, in a recent New York Times article, Nolan is quoted as saying that at the movies we're going to see someone else put on a show, and I feel a responsibility to put on the best show possible.
No one would dispute that this is one hell of a show, but also it brings in the family, it brings in time, space, it brings in the future of the planet and the environment. No question, it is an amazing film. I would recommend it.
And already $50 million in ticket pre-sales, as far as Interstellar's concerned, so it looks as though it's doing rather well. Now, last week, of course, we had Professor Scott Davidson, as we mentioned. He's currently in Washington, together with Andrew David and Matthew Crago, who's the Managing Director of Siren, or Managing Editor of Siren, in the case of Andrew David, and, of course, the Head of the College of Arts, in the case of Professor Matthew Crago, together with Professor Brian Winston, of course. You spoke to Brian as well on the show frequently. They're off in Washington with Magna Carta, but the point being, one of the things we didn't quite get into, as Scott actually alluded to when he mentioned Pitcairn, was Scott was on one of the legal teams when he was over in New Zealand that actually was defending the whole Pitcairn scenario. And of course, Jessica, known in New Zealand and all the rest of bits and pieces, you've heard of Pitcairn, no doubt?
I actually haven't.
No, well.
It was discovered by the mutineers who were.
The famous mutiny on the bounty. Captain Bligh.
225 years ago, on the 22nd of January 2015, there's going to be a ceremony on Tahiti. This is next January, where a descendant of Captain Bligh will receive the Bible that was taken from Captain Bligh's cabin at the time of the mutiny from a descendant of Fletcher Christian, and then will hand it back. It still remains the most controversial mutiny of all time, and it was the refuge the mutineers found with some Polynesians, and though fatally, this play, it is actually an interesting play. I have to say that the character development isn't what it could be, but Richard Bean is one man, two governors, a terrific hit and absolutely hilarious, and I saw it at the Globe. It's set in 1814, when Marines discover what happened to the mutineers, the Polynesians, and their women, and we see the ideals that Christian had corrupted, because the mutiny occurred at the French Revolution, and here we see what subsequently occurred when the mutineers treated the Polynesians as slaves, wouldn't let them own land. There's also tremendous emphasis on the rights of women in the play, and the subsequent bloodletting that occurred. Director Max Stafford Clarke. And I thought it was rather good. There is this problem at the Globe that you miss one word in three. That doesn't help the story or the character development.
So why do you miss one word in three, then?
Because there isn't...
Do they mumble?
No, it's not so much the mumbling, it's the acoustics, I think. It is a problem there. Well, there certainly is a problem in...
Can you not sort of say every so often, speak up! Speak up, fellow!
I think you could, because remember the whole idea of the groundling.
Exactly.
You can shout what you
Precisely.
Like.
Precisely. Tomatoes, part and parcel of the whole thing.
But on the other hand, you could also cross over to the Theatre Royal Haymarket if you want to see Richard Bean. Take a look at phone hacking at the State of the British Press, indeed Great Britain. Very, very funny satire, I thought.
With, of course, former Doctor Who companion and wife of Chris Evans, Billy Piper, in one of the roles, I recall. In fact, one of the roles of the editor, which might possibly be based on a certain Rebecca Wade, but maybe not.
There is, I have to say, a character in it who bears a certain similarity, played by Joe Dockery, I have to say, when I saw it. But
yes.
There's been a change in cast since it opened at the National, but there's no question it's... it was written in secret during the
Leveson inquiry
into, yes, exactly. into phone hacking. Lucy Punch as Paige Britton, maybe not a subtle name, but there's no question this packs the punch it intends, whether or not it will be regarded in the future as one of the great plays, probably not, but nonetheless it's extremely entertaining, because here's the British press, and indeed why it's, you look at the politicians, you look at the police, is a hilarious collection of idiocy, malpractice, and all in bed with each really, other in one way or another.
Much the same thing as has always been the case since the days of Cruikshank and Hone, really, isn't it? Just a hilarious kind of cacophony of farce in many ways.
Yes, indeed, and well done, very well written, I thought. Director Nicholas Heitner, and I do recommend it. It's got a long run for good reason, and putting it mildly, it is topical. So topical, in fact, that if I may, I will move to Nightcrawler.
Oh.
Because here we have, and this is a performance that absolutely fascinates me. It's interesting how a villain, you remember how fascinating Harry Lime was. Harry Lime was considerably more. Absolutely, forget it.
Sorry, Jessica, I'm just going to the third man theme there, but without the zither.
Well, director and writer Dan Gilroy deserves credit for a movie set in LA, which, putting it mildly, it absolutely fascinates me. It's important to remember, I think, like Gone Girl, for example, recently, that so many movies have such good ideas. Here you have a petty thief in LA, set almost entirely at night, as you can imagine, who turns into a recorder of violent accidents. So he acquires a camcorder, a radio scanner, he shoots footage of this, and he sells it to a local TV station that wants to increase its ratings, most especially by seeing and recording and showing viewers
live-action stuff
of, especially of the affluent being robbed or murdered or shot, or of car crashes. News director, played by Renée Russo, Nina is only too keen as she chases the ratings to get the material supplied by Louis Lou Bloom. And here's a performance by Jake Gyllenhaal, who is one of those villains who grows on you, because, well, he'll do anything. He'll move a corpse, he'll shoot footage of a triple murder before the police arrive and claim that he'd just got into the house because he wanted to help. He'll sell it to the news desk, and then he's ambitious. Where do his ambitions go? He's callous, to be sure, and he's inventive, and he's a step ahead of the game, and here he's he's curiously likable. So however outrageous, and it really does get outrageous, but it doesn't get too outrageous. It remains within the bounds of probability, which is why it is so atmospheric, so dramatic, and the sort of thriller that I really like. And Gyllenhaal is, I think we're going to be getting a lot more of his performance.
He was Donnie Darko. What can we say? You know,
well, we can say that he's moved into a really dark role here, but he has this curiously likable face, rather as Orson Welles did when we see him in Harry Lime. There's this.
Is he a villain? Is he a hero? Is he an anti-hero? It's a pulse-pounding thriller set in the nocturnal underbelly of contemporary Los Angeles.
That's a good one, and it is, and it's. See how he grows on you. Would you have him to supply your news station with really cracking reports? I mean, what about Siren? Ha!
I could answer, but I can't. Okay.
I understand.
I could, but I won't. But you know, I mean, it couldn't possibly comment is the bottom line. Not to be confused, of course, with the character Nightcrawler, portrayed by Kurt Wagner, whose alter ego is that of Nightcrawler, the Marvel Universe character. Not at all. Just to make sure, it's a superhero movie. It leads and leads. According to The Guardian, Nightcrawler tops the United States box office.
I'm delighted to hear it. It shows a really good idea, becomes a first-class movie, and it's precisely what it deserves to do. We also give a note to Riz Ahmed's performance as Rick. He is the unfortunate assistant of Lou Bloom, that is not an enviable task, because you do what you're told to do, and what you're told to do is very...
Success
very
at any cost, as you used to say when you're in charge of the
international
Who's
Who.
Exactly.
Right, yes, absolutely.
And in fact, it's tying in joint top place with Ouija, a fairly cheap horror based on the Hasbro board game. So, interesting. Jessica, any little thoughts or questions? Will you be going to check out Nightcrawler as well as Interstellar? Such like stuff? Or will you say, no, I don't know, a bit too scary for me?
Probably a little
too scary. Yeah, well, let's
I wouldn't say that it is not so much scary. This is not a horror film. It's a gripping thriller.
Okay.
Remember
I also like thrillers, because it does they require effort, and I prefer films like that. Oops.
I wouldn't say it required that much effort. The effort is of being done for you on the screen by Lou Bloom. You'd be surprised to find out what he can set up.
Yeah.
He will tell part of the truth to the police. And here again, this is the other fascinating aspect of the movie, is it illegal for him to shoot what he does, when he does, and how does he get out of it, and what, in fact, does he plan to shoot?
It's
no spoilers from me.
Question after question.
Cynical film, a cynical look at show business and what grabs the ratings and the news today, but not so much. Well, it is a form of show business. This is the whole irony. You have to try and grab your audience, and it so happens that Nina, the news director, her contract tends
has
to
a
be
different line, exactly. But we have to move on as well, because we've got to squeeze in Dr. Dawn Harper from Channel 4's Embarrassing Bodies series. We've also got Ian Lennox to squeeze in as well. So the last two questions for Richard Fitzwilliams. Jessica, please.
Have you enjoyed this week's show?
Yes, enormously, and so good to bring in Pitcairn. It's fascinating. A shame we didn't get it in last week. I didn't know that amazing fact.
Well, you know, it all works out perfectly in the end as we take that little space walk. Hold on tight, and remember, whichever way you're standing is the right way up for you.
Careful of the wormhole.
Careful.